So somebody say harvest. It is harvest time. Woo! I love going. My favorite colors are fall, and I love going into the store. I had to make a couple of Lowe's and Home Depot runs this week, and they had some pumpkins out, and I just love to see that. I love to see hay bales. Probably not some of you guys like to see hay, but I love to see hay, and I love to see the pumpkins, and I just love as the weather cools. We've actually kind of felt like fall is on its way. I know this week we may not feel like it, but just put some pumpkins out and remember, it's here. And so I love harvest time. And it represents something to us spiritually as well. So I want to talk to you about harvest time today. Harvest time is a time when you reap what you sow. So you either just got really scared or just got really happy. Because I don't know what you've been sowing, but if you've not been sowing good, you're like, oh, can we skip this season? But if you've been sowing some good things, then you're really excited because you're like, yes, because I've been sowing good, and so I'm going to have an expectation that I'm going to reap what I've sown. It's also a time to pick up and to gather. And so this is the season we're in. It is a season of rejoicing because how many of you know when you've worked hard and you get to see the fruit of your labor, that's exciting. So harvest time is a season of rejoicing, but it's also a season of labor because you do have to gather in. And so it's kind of twofold. You get to have joy, but you have to work still. So that's harvest time. And harvesting is actually the most labor-intensive activity of the growing season. So even though we can be excited, even though we know it's harvest time, even though we know we're going to reap what we've sown, we also recognize it doesn't come without work. Amen? Look at somebody and say, you can't get away without working. So, on Psalms 128, I've got a lot of scriptures. I made Dennis get busy when he got in this morning. I'm like, here's my list. He goes, of songs? I'm like, of scriptures. And so he's got them back there. Psalms 128, 2. It says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Say hallelujah. That's good. That's a good word. I like that. 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 9. Let's go there. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Isn't that exciting this morning that each of us have our own positions, the things that God has given us to do, and our purpose is to work together knowing that God is the ultimate. He's in control. It says we are the co-workers. Together we work together. Get that word. Say together. Together we work in God's service, and you are in God's field and God's building. And so when we get that straightened, that we're not, it's not about who has the most, all right? It's not about who has the best, but it's about giving God your 100%, each of us, whatever God has placed in our pathway, each of us giving 100% and knowing that together we are working in God's service. There is joy that comes in seeing fruit that is produced through your labor. In the natural, it is exciting to see results like in a garden or the finished product of something you've made. I didn't bring it this morning, but years ago, my mother is very artistic. And I've loved art since I was a child. That was my favorite class, art. And so I think that I get that from my mom. And my dad was very handy. And so I do like crafts and I like attempting things. They don't always, you know, succeed, but I at least attempt it. And sometimes I've thrown it out. And I look back one time I sold these like spoons that you wrap jewels down them to like have a decorative serving spoon. I'm like, those people, you know, they paid money for that at a craft fair and it probably like broke the first time they washed it, you know, but I tried, I attempted, and it was for missions. I was raising missions money. So, but I have a painting that I painted, and it is of the Eiffel Tower because I have a promise that he's made to me that one day we'll go to the Eiffel Tower in Paris. I've dreamed of going to Paris since I was little. And so I had started taking classes from an older gentleman that was an artist in our church in Texas. And it was cute because he felt like it was therapy for me, and I felt like it was therapy for him. And so I was like, he just loves coming and teaching us ladies. And he's like, this is so good for LaRonda. And so we both had this little secret thing that we were helping each other. And he normally did landscapes or portraits. And I brought in this calendar of the Eiffel Tower, and I'm like, so I want to paint this. He's like, okay. So I started, you know, kind of sketching out what I was going to do. And then I started working, and he was like, okay, you know, he was coaching me, and then, you know, where I was messing up on the sky, he'd say, do you mind if I kind of show you a few things? And anyways, when I finished the piece, other than it being a tad bit crooked, I think it turned out pretty good. And I have it in my bedroom. And I remember one day we had several artists in our church, so we had an art display, and we had a room that was actually a big prayer room. But we put all of the different people in our church's art in this room, and we had a Sunday evening where you, it was kind of like an art show, where you could go and mingle in the room and see different people's artwork and their styles, and it was really cool. And so I had someone that wanted to actually buy that painting. I don't know if it was because we were the pastors and they, you know, felt sorry for my Eiffel Tower and they thought they would. But I didn't, because I knew that she would never value it the way I did. With something that I had created with my own hands, that was one of the first things I created, and I was very excited about it. And when I look at it, it's still a reminder of a dream that I have, a hope that I have. And I knew that that painting wouldn't be her dream or her hope, and it wasn't what she put into it. And so I kept it for me. And there are certain things that you have done, that you have built, or you have worked on with your hands that no one else will value like you do. And the Lord allows you to hold on to that as a hope, as a dream, as a promise. And so so at the same time, I felt the fruit of my labor. Like, I did that. Like, it was exciting. And how many of you have ever done something and be like, I can't believe I actually did that? Like, and you get excited because you achieved something. So in harvest, it should be exciting. And spiritually, it's rewarding to see growth in people that you've sown into. If you've led someone to the Lord, if you've discipled someone, it is exciting to see them grow. Have you ever seen someone and they came out of the world and out of sin and out of gunk, and then you see them now and you're like, look how far they've come. Some of you can probably have been here long enough that you could look around the room and say, I remember when that person right over there was not good. But look at them now. And maybe you're the one who led them to the Lord. Maybe you're the one who discipled them. Maybe, Marion, you're the one who taught them in children's. And you get to see their growth. And that's exciting. Amen. I know she shared with me different ones of you who were stinkers in her class. No. And, but she has seen you grow, and there is an excitement and joy that comes from watching people grow. And so that's part of the reward of your harvest, what you've sown, and you get to reap and see that, those you've invested in. And so if you're not experiencing harvest in your life, then this morning you need to ask yourself, have I sown? Have I watered? Or have I just been sitting here expecting someone to water me? Because we should be sowing and watering. When you give your life over to the Lord, you now have information that others don't have. You now have something to share. Like, you don't have to know the Bible from the beginning to the end to lead someone to the Lord. If you thought that you had to have read the Bible through before you could have that conversation for someone, I want you to know that someone has told you a lie and you have a misconception of this word. Because if you gave your life to the Lord, you can now teach someone else how to give their life to the Lord. And he will teach them all the ins and outs and show them how to live right. And as they begin to get in the word, we never stop learning. I don't care if half of the people in here have read this Bible from front to the beginning, from the beginning to the end, they don't know everything. Because every time we read it, we get a different perspective due to the season of life that we're in, due to things that stand out that never, that's why you can read a scripture and go, I never saw that before. But maybe you heard it preached or maybe you heard it read, it just didn't stand out to you the way it does in the season of life you're in. So we should be sowing, we should be watering, and we sow by sharing the good news, by sharing the information that what we have. So all of you in this room have something to inform someone of. All of you in this room have something that's been deposited into you, something that you've learned through experience, something that you've learned through life's lessons, something that has been taught to you, and you now have something to give. You have something to sow. So if you thought you didn't have anything to sow, I want to tell you that this morning you can be a sower because all of you know something. You don't have to know it all to share. Teach what you know. And then we all have the opportunity to water. Watering is encouraging. Going along and encouraging people. And we all have the ability. Even the most negative person in this room has the ability to be an encourager. Sometimes it takes a little bit harder for some other, you know, some people it's like pulling teeth to get them to say a nice comment. But you're like, come on, it's in there. I know you can do it. I know you can find something positive. Just go ahead, try it, you know. But we can water with encouragement. So you can be a sower and you can be a waterer if you haven't been. And then you will begin to see a harvest from that. Just immediately when you give a compliment, have you ever seen somebody's whole countenance change? The moment you just said something positive to them and they light up, you are beginning to see fruit from what you poured in. So we have the ability to do that. You don't have to miss out on this season, okay? You can do it. You can be a part of it. Am I watering? Am I sowing? Proverbs 10, 4 and 5. It says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So the word is telling us, basically, laziness is no good. And you're not going to have joy from your laziness. It'll be disgraceful. So we don't want to be one of those that sit on the side and say, you know what, I'm done, I'm not going to do this, my day's over with, but we're going to recognize, as long as we have breath in us, to be one that sows and one that waters. Spiritual laziness brings spiritual hunger and poverty. You don't get the same effect when the harvest is, when it's not your harvest. So just like that painting that I had, the young lady that wanted to buy it, it wouldn't have the same effect for her as it did me. You can think the story of the Bible, those different stories that you read, like, oh, that's sweet, that's awesome, that was great that God did that for somebody that lived thousands of years ago that I never met, that I have no clue what they even looked like. And we can say, oh, that's good, that's nice. We can read it and not quite grasp it until we've gone through something similar. And have you ever gone through something similar as one of the stories in the Bible and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel like Leah. Oh, I feel like, you know, Jacob. Oh, I feel like Joseph. You know, I feel like I am in this. We go through things and then we can relate. Your story means a lot to you and it helps you in the season. There are seasons where we receive grace and are blessed from the fruit of others. Don't you like getting blessed from the fruit of others? Like they got enough that they overflow and pour into you. Thank you, Jesus. But it's not intended for you to spend your life living off someone else's blessings. And you know some people do that. They spend their life waiting for different ones who will come and pour their blessings over them, but they never get blessings for themselves. God doesn't want us to just sit back and receive everyone else's. Although we get to receive some, and that's nice, he wants us to also give out so that we can reap back based off of what we gave out. And that's naturally, and that's spiritually. I believe you'll find yourself rejoicing if you begin to start sowing. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. There will always be seed time and harvest till the end time. So you have an opportunity to get in on the blessings of sowing and watering. We got to share our harvest. Is that okay? So we just established that we don't want to just live off of someone else's harvest, but we know that it's better to than it is to. So we want to share the harvest. Exodus 23:16. It says, celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field. So we want to celebrate by giving away and giving. That's why, you know, we believe in tithing here. We believe in tithing. We give back what God has given to us. But we also give unto others, right? And so we can celebrate our harvest. We can celebrate what we've received by giving back. You don't want to have the mentality that if I give, I might not have enough. Because that will keep you from giving, right? I've done that. Like, well, I was going to share this, but then I might not have enough, so I won't share. Anybody else ever done that? I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I've done that. And you reap what you sow. So if you reap what you sow, I would hate to think that someone held back on me because I held back on someone else. If you truly are thankful for the blessing, you'll show appreciation to the giver himself. So if you have been blessed, that thankfulness goes back to the Father. We thank the Father for the blessing, and we know it's him who gave it to us anyway. So Jacob shared his story. He knows that it's the Lord who gave him that job. He knows that that job is not by his own doings, although we do have knowledge and we have things and that we follow through with. We can acknowledge, God, you are the giver of life. You're the giver of my blessing, and I thank you for it, so I trust you with it. And if you're asking me to share it, then I'll relinquish it knowing that you'll give back to me. But sometimes we stop from blessing because we're afraid we're not going to have enough. We're afraid, well, that's the last thing God's ever going to do in my life, so I better hold on to it. But it's not. He wants to do so much more for you. So everything you have belongs to the Lord already. Leviticus 23:10. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of your harvest. So it talks again about, he establishes what I've given you, what I'm going to give you, and you give back and you reap that harvest. That's sowing and reaping. So bringing that fruit to him. Spiritually, we give honor to God when we reap the harvest of souls and growth in the kingdom. So not only are we talking about finances or materials this morning, that's not where I'm not just settled in, but how many of you have poured into some people's lives? You've had conversations and you've encouraged and you've poured into people's lives. And you can expect to see growth in them. You can expect to see more salvations. You know, you got saved because someone led you to the Lord, because someone led to them to the Lord, because someone led them to the Lord, because someone led them to the Lord, and it goes on and on and on. And who you lead to the Lord will turn around and lead someone else to the Lord, and we get to see the blessing of that. And so it's important for us to realize this morning that we need to be givers of the word, givers of our knowledge, givers of encouragement, and sow that and have an expectation that we are going to see the fruit of that. So we got to dig a little deeper, and we've got to give not just to the people in our circle, but in Leviticus 23:22, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. So give to people you don't even know. Give to people you don't even know. You don't know anything about them. You don't know their history. You don't know what they're going to do with what you have given. Give to people. And then it says in Deuteronomy 24:19, It says, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, don't go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. So he's telling us, and I think we got one more, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I commanded you to do this. Remember where you came from. Remember when you had lack. Remember when you didn't have all that you needed. Remember that? So you leave for others. And it specifically is talking about the widow, the fatherless, the foreigner. You know, and sometimes we forget that. And I wasn't raised with that mentality. I wasn't raised with my dad. My dad wasn't in church. And so he didn't get all those biblical principles. And for him, it's like you go back, you check it 2, 3, 4 times. You get every last one and make sure you gather it all. Right? But this is telling me no. And so I would look at this and think, well, that's kind of foolish. Like you need to take care of what you have, and you should get all of it because it's yours, and, you know, why would you leave it behind, and what if it doesn't get taken, and, you know, and I'm kind of breaking it all down in that way. But God's saying, leave some and allow others. And if you take this, and then you skip forward and you go to the story of Ruth and Naomi, when she was instructed, Ruth was, from Naomi to go out in the fields and gather. See, it was a biblical principle that things would be left behind. And she was able to gather in what was left behind to make provision. And you see, you're making provision for someone to get by, to get to the next place, to get to the next thing in their life when you leave a little behind. And so financially, it's that way. In your cupboards, it's that way. It's that way spiritually. So we don't always think of it in a spiritual sense, but when you hover all your knowledge just for you, when you keep to yourself the goodness of God that we talked about this morning, when we keep to ourselves the knowledge that we have of who Christ is and what Christ can do for us, it's like being selfish that I'm going to contain it all for me and hold it in all for me because I need to know this. But God's saying, would you let loose of some of the knowledge you have? Would you leave some over to the side? The lady at Walmart that's behind you, can you just tell her of the goodness of God? Can you just leave her a little piece of what you have in you so that it can get her by to the next stop, the next place, the next thing? Because you have something that may seem insignificant to you. Oh, that little word doesn't really mean anything. But that person that you spoke it to may go back and tell someone, I saw this person and they were my confirmation that I needed. They were what I was looking for. Can we get in our heads this morning to deposit and leave a little behind? Not only of our material and our financial, but of our spiritual. Of our spiritual. We want to sow and we want to water the world. And it starts with Wasco Schachter. And it goes out Delano Bakersfield, on and on, and I could begin to name and name and name. Because where you are is where God has planted you. And he wants you to sow right where you're at. And then he'll call some of us to sow somewhere else. He may say, I want you to do a missions trip and go do some sowing in Africa or Mexico or wherever, New York. But you start right where you're at, and you deposit into your community. Maybe you know some people who need some extra clothes, and you just happen to have some bags you were going to haul off to Goodwill, but you decided to tell somebody, hey, I have some clothes. Would you like them? And they're super excited. Do we recognize that's being good followers of Christ? Do we recognize that that's ways we can sow seed and love on one another, practically and spiritually? So, God loves a cheerful giver. Woo! He loves a cheerful giver. Isaiah 9:3. It says, you have enlarged the nation and increased their what? Their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at when? At harvest. As people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. We need to be cheerful givers, knowing that we are going to reap the harvest. Harvest time is a time of work. Proverbs 24, it says, sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time, they look but find nothing. That sounds kind of depressing to me. I don't want to be in that spot, that it's harvest time, and I'm going, you know, I don't have anything, because I didn't give anything, because I didn't sow anything, because I didn't water anything. I have nothing, but I want to have enough. You can't skip the process. You have to work. You got to open your mouth. You got to share Jesus. Got to open your mouth, and you got to encourage. You got to open up your pocketbooks and give. You got to share. You got to say, I have this, and now you take this. You know, I'm transitioning in our house, and our Emmy is gone, and so she's having to learn what it's like when you decide to move out, and she's losing her big bed. Brother's going to get it. So sisters are getting twin beds, and I was going to put sisters in one bed together, but then, you know, it kind of made Emmy feel like she was being booted out, and, you know, and so I'm trying to, you know, make peace with 18 and 4-year-olds. You know, how does that work? God has a sense of humor. And so Koa gets her bed, and I'm doing twin beds, and I'm looking for, you know, me, I like to thrift and do different things, and so I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have, like, two different iron-type beds or whatever, and so I happened to be picking up Koa from, and Abigail, Debbie had kept them for me, and she was having a yard sale. I'm like, is that an iron bed over there? She's like, yeah, Malia's done with it, and I'm like, oh, I will buy it. And because I'm super excited, I've been looking, and so this is going to be so good. And she wouldn't let me buy it. And I'm, like, trying to hand money, and they would not take it from me, and they just blessed me with it. Now, I'm not doing that. I know that's awkward, Debbie. You're like, thanks. That was weird. But I'm using that as an example because, you know, she took something that was hers that no longer had value to them, and it's like a treasure to me. And she's like, I'm going to bless you with this treasure. I just want you to have it. And I'm like, yay. And Malia probably had a little part to do with that too, right, Malia? Because, like, that was your bed. Thank you. It's now Abigail's. So isn't that fun? In the family of God, we can share. And then later on, she can be like, Abigail, that was my bed. And tell her the story of her life and all the fun parties and candy you ate in that bed. I don't know. But you see how that works? In the family of God, we have an ability to sow blessings. Spiritually, somebody say spiritually. Somebody say material. Financially. All of it. And guess what? We have the ability not only to sow, but everybody say reap. Doesn't that feel good? I reaped that bed. But you know what? I've also given beds, come to think of it. And it's kind of cool to know how God works in his kingdom. It's good. So I'm going to be closing with this. It's not all work. It is rest. Somebody think, thank you, God. Because we talked about how we got to work. We can't get past it. You need to do it. But also Exodus 34:21. Says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall, even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. All of our farmers in here, you got to have a day of rest too, okay? Because he says, even during this season, you need to rest. So, we have got to not keep up with the mentality of our nation that it's work, 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 do, 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 go, 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 and never rest. You will wear yourself down. Been there, done that, overworked it, and wished I hadn't of. And it makes you not want to sow anymore. Can we be real this morning that sometimes you don't want to sow and you don't want to water because you're so sick of it because you haven't had rest? So if you're here this morning and you've been sick and tired of sowing and watering, God just wants you to rest. Would you take a day of rest? Rest your mind. Rest your body. and allow him to pour back into you and give you strength. See, when we rest in Jesus, he gives us strength. When we rest in Jesus, he gives us peace. When we rest in him, he gives us the strength we need to get back up on the first day and go at it again. We have to rest. And I want you to know that you are needed. I want you to know that you are needed. I can't go in. I'm skipping a lot this morning because there's a process in the reaping where there's cooling and sorting and cleaning and packing. And that represents all of us. Each of us have different things that we'll do. And that represents discipling. When someone gets saved, when someone gives their life to the Lord, we need disciples. We need people who will take other people and teach them and show them. But you are needed. Matthew 9:37-38. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It's ripe. And here's the season we're in. Revelations 14:15. We'll skip that one. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud. Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Do not let us be like the church in Revelation who has lost their first love. Who has forgotten where we have come from. And who has forgotten to seek him fervently and recognize the signs of the times. We as believers are not void of knowing the seasons and the times. So we know that we don't know the day or the hour, but the Bible says we can look to the skies and see the seasons and the times. And we know that there are things going on in our nation. We see natural disasters, not just in our nation. Mexico's been hit terribly with earthquakes. We see what's going on, and we should recognize it's harvest time, and we have something to sow. And we have something to water with, because you've been washed in the water. You've been washed in the Word of God. And it's time that you stop just pouring into yourself. And, you know, we listen to podcasts out the wazoo. We listen to Facebook clips and posts and Bible studies, and we do all of this, and we have all this knowledge. And if we'd spend as much time as we do doing that, giving it out, oh, what we would reap. Because you've been putting in and listening to and getting chill bumps and, ooh, that was a good word and that was a great sermon and that was a great podcast. And what are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with the knowledge you have? If it moved you, if it gave you a goosebump, if it did something to your soul, then take it to the next level and sow it back into somebody. Water somebody with what you heard. Otherwise, all you've done is take care of yourself. And I have a feeling that God doesn't want us to just take care of me and mine and my four and no more. But I have a feeling that he wants us to grasp the scripture that says that the harvest is here, that the laborers are few. And I need you. And you need to be reminded that he needs you. And that you got to rest in the middle of it, or our minds would become so boggled down if we try to save the world, right? It's too much for us. It's not too much for him. And all he wants you to do is take what he's given you, the knowledge he's given you. Your knowledge is not the same as mine. Mine's not the same as yours. We could go across this room and know everybody's knowledge is different. But take the knowledge he's given you. And sow it. Take what's being deposited into you and water. Because there's coming a time where we won't have the opportunity. there's coming a time where each day we're given different people in our life that we won't be given tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize the opportunity. And I want to just leave you with the fact that in Matthew it talks about the tares and the wheat. And the tares actually reference sin. And it says the tares enjoyed the sun and the water just like the grain. Blessings are going to fall on your enemy. They're going to enjoy things like you. It's not for you to worry about. Because there will come a day and there will be a separation from the tares and the wheat. And it won't be you doing the separating. So just get that down. Because sometimes we think that's our job. God's called me to get rid of all the tares. I'm going to get rid of all of this. And that's what my job is. No, that's his job. And God will bless some people that probably in our knowledge should not be blessed. But that's not to keep you from stunt. That's not a stumbling block for you. You recognize that the rain will fall on the just and the unjust. Blessings will fall on those that don't deserve it and those that do. But when the end comes, when it comes down to you meeting your heavenly Father, he's the one who does the separating and says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," or "Depart from me, I never knew you." Don't make that your job. Make your job the job of sowing and reaping. Would you stand to your feet? It's harvest time. And it's exciting. Yes. It's exciting. It's exciting because this is your moment. Everything that you've walked through and done to this point can now be used for who God places in your path. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven. Heavenly Father, we lift our hands to you as a sign of surrendering. Surrendering our life over to you. And Father, we acknowledge in this day that what we have is not ours anyways, but we have been blessed by you because you are a good God, and every good gift comes from the Father above. So we thank you. Just begin to thank him for the harvest. Lord, we thank you for the harvest. We thank you, Father, for every good thing that you've poured into our life. We thank you, Lord, that you've not turned your ear or your eye to the things that we have sown in the past. But Father, you see every seed we've sown. You see every seed that we've watered. And we can have an expectation that the harvest is ripe and it's ready to come in. And Father, we can thank you in this day that we are going to begin to see salvations like we haven't seen in a long time. That we're going to begin to see people turn their hearts to you who have in the past rejected you. Lord, we're going to begin to see people turn away from sin and totally surrender to you and your ways and follow you. Father, we thank you that you have given each and every one of us the ability through the knowledge that we've learned and the knowledge that you've given us and the word of God that we have as a tool. And that as we are good and faithful servants, we will pour out and sow and water and encourage and disciple that more people can come to know you. And Lord, in the midst of it, we know you've called us to rest. And I ask for a peace and a joy and a refreshing over those who are tired. Lord, I ask that you would fill them up and give them the strength that surpasses their own understanding and strength to keep going on. Let them sit in your presence and rest. And Father, I thank you that we reap what we sow. And so therefore we can have an expectation that as we sow, as we give, we will reap blessing. And it's not a blessing for us to contain, but it's a blessing for us to turn around and give back out and pour back out that you can continually use us for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our cities. We thank you for salvations. We thank you for this church, for the heart, for the vision, for the desire for souls. And right now in this building, if you have not committed your life to the Lord, if you've never said, "Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I know you are the creator, that your son, Jesus, died for me." This is your opportunity. Say, "Lord, I believe that you are the creator of heaven and earth, that you sent your son your one and only son, Jesus, to die for my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And if you said that, you are now a born-again believer. And if you made that decision, if it's the first time or it's a renewal, then please go back to the kiosk and let them know, hey, I said the prayer for the first time, and they will get you a Bible. They will make sure that you have a tool in your hand that you can start learning and growing in Christ. Be blessed.